الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah who has made it possible for us to gather here this morning to remind ourselves about religion. Allah says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and give the reminder, or verily the reminder benefits the believers. I want to commend the effort of the brothers who are constantly organizing these lectures. May Almighty Allah strengthen them and reward them abundantly. May Almighty Allah also reward you all for always keeping a date to them and attending. Attending lectures like this is indeed very, very important. At least, no matter what, you will get to learn one or two things, inshallah. It's either you learn something new or you get reminded of something that you already know before in Islam. The topic of discussion, as communicated to me, is at-tawakkul, right?
No.
At-tawakkul, or take us to Allah. That is putting one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Putting one's trust and depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This topic, indeed, is very, very important. And we need it very much in our lives. We need to remind ourselves about this issue, especially in our current situation. Yes, we are in a time when Muslims or Islam is undergoing serious challenges. There are a lot of persecutions against the Muslims. There are a lot of campaigns to blackmail the Muslims and dent their image. And that has made Muslims, a lot of Muslims, to lose confidence in themselves and in their religion. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ says in one of his hadith, يَأْتِي أَلَى النَّاسِ زمان الصابر فيهم على دينه كالقابض على الجمرة, that a time will come upon the people when the one who is patient among them on his religion will be like somebody who is holding on to a burning coal. That period is now. We're in that period now. A lot of Muslims are today even ashamed of their religion. You have a lot of sisters who are ashamed of putting on the hijab. A lot of brothers who are ashamed of keeping the beard or raising the trousers, or even professing Islam in any manner. I've seen somebody, you say to him, assalamu alaikum, say, how are you? He doesn't want to answer, alaikum alaikum salam. He believes this kind of great things. He doesn't believe me like that, this kind of thing. So, this is making Muslims to lose confidence in their religion. And so there is need to remind ourselves of the need to put our trust in Allah and to be certain that we are on the right path. Also, this topic is important in our lives because of the nature of the human heart. The nature of the human heart is such that it changes constantly. Constantly changing. The Prophet ﷺ said that the heart, in Arabic, is called al-qalb. It is qalb, other in Arabic means something that turns. Alright? He said the heart was called al-qalb because it turns constantly. In fact, he gave a parable. He said the rate at which the heart changes and turns is like a leaf under a tree in a very strong wind. You see how the wind will be turning that leaf up and down. That's how the heart turns constantly. And that's why in another hadith, he was telling Hudhayfah, where was in your mind when he was talking about and Peter, trials and tribulations towards the end of time? He said what? He said, fitnatun kagulmati layl or kakita'ati layl. He said, yusbih rajul mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran. Wa yumsi kafiran wa yusbih mu'minan. He said, towards the end of time, there will be trial, all right, tribulation so heavy, like the darkness of the night, to the extent that a man will wake up a believer, but by sunset he will be a disbeliever. And a person may be a disbeliever by sunset, and by morning he will be a believer. To tell you the way at the rate at which people will be changing. And that's why the Prophet taught his companions or his own majority to always seek Allah's guidance. He used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ya mukallif al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh Allah, you are the one who turns the heart. Make my heart firm on the religion. Make my heart firm on the religion. So, at tawakkul, depending, putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very important part of tawheed. A very important part of tawheed. What it means is that a Muslim should submit totally. Submit all your affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Depend on Allah for your provision. Depend on Allah for protection. Depend on Allah for managing all your affairs, the affairs of this world and the hereafter. Scholars used to say that the reason why tawakkul is so important in Islam is because it is actually a condition of faith. It's a precondition for true iman. That's what Allah says in the Quran, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Alright, and put your trust in Allah if truly you are a believer. You see, Islam totally revolves around one simple sentence which we repeat every day in Surah Al-Fatiha. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You see, this verse of the Quran is at the center of the entire Islam. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Scholars used to say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is the same thing as لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. You alone we worship. Okay? Then when we say, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that is لَا حَوْلَ لَهُ وَتَعْلَىٰ بِاللَّهِ. You are saying that it is from Allah alone you depend on for assistance in everything concerning your life. Now, tawakkul is directly related to our belief in predestination, al-qadr. You understand? It is directly linked to it. Because when you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are like recognizing that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? And belief in al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi, believing in predetermination, predestination, whether good or bad, is one of the attributes of faith. Unfortunately, a lot of people have a wrong understanding of what al-qadr is, what predestination is in Islam. First of all, people are divided into three. You understand? There are people who don't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined anything. Okay? We call them al-qadariyah. This kind of sect, they are a sect. They call themselves Muslims, but they don't believe in al-qadr. Alright, scholars call them al-qadariyah. These people believe man has total free will. Man, it is man who decides what he does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know what man is going to do until he has done it. You understand? Now, this idea is wrong. Why? Because it negates the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is al-alim. He is the all-knowing. He knows everything. So it's not possible to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not know what you do until you have done it. So this is one extreme end. Other people went the other extreme end again. And they say that everything has been predetermined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means, according to them, that man is just like a tool. All right? Man has no free will. Everything man does, man is compelled to do it by what has been predetermined for him. Do you understand? Again, this view is wrong. Why? Because it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be unjust. Because by this idea, if a person commits sin, you don't need to blame him. Isn't it? Because he was compelled to commit that sin. So if he is compelled to commit that sin, then why should he be punished for it? Do you understand? So to say that man has no free will to decide his actions, that everything he's done has been written down, meaning he is being compelled to do it, negates the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the true position is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined everything before creation. And at the same time, he has given man the free will to choose. And that's why scholars say that understanding predetermination requires you to understand four things. Anyone will talk about Al-Qadr, we're actually talking about four things put together. All right? Unless you understand these four things put together, there's no way you can have the true understanding of Al-Qadr. What are these four things? One, we're talking about Al-Qadr in Islam, we're talking about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ilm. We're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what was and what is and what will be. And what was not. If it was to be, how it will be. Do you understand? That was called the Alim Allahu ma kana wa ma sayakun. Wa ma lam yakun. Law kana kayfa yakun. Alright? This is the total, this is knowledge in totality. Do you understand? Right. The second thing we're talking about, what I'll talk about Al-Qadr, the second component of Al-Qadr is what? Is Al-Kitaba. Meaning Allah, this knowledge of Allah, this knowledge that Allah has about everything, what was, what is, what will be, and what was not, Allah subhanahu has written it down. Alright? The Prophet told us that the first time Allah created the pen, أول ما خلق الله الخلق قال الله أكتب قال يا رب ما أكتب قال أكتب مقادير الخلق إلى يوم القيامة. Alright, the first time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, Allah said to the pen, write. The pen said, oh Allah, oh my Lord, what am I going to write? He said, write the destiny of the creation till the last day. Alright, and the pen wrote everything on the love of Mahfuz. Alright, the preserved plate. So, Allah has written down what will happen, all right, from the beginning of the creation till the last day. The third component of Al-Qadr, whenever we're talking about Al-Qadr, is what? It's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mashiyah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, what that means is that this thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written down, it is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow it happen. Do you understand? Why? Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not will that it will happen, it cannot happen. Do you understand? Alright? It cannot happen. So it is by his will, alright, that he should allow this, all the things that are going to happen, it is by his permission. He decided to allow it to happen. And finally, creation. That's the fourth component. So, first, we're talking about Allah's knowledge. Second, we're saying that Allah has written down everything. And thirdly, we're saying that it is by Allah's will that everything happens. And fourthly, Allah decided to create. So, when Allah decided to create Mal Ibrahim, for example, alright, before Allah created Mal Ibrahim, he knows that Mal Ibrahim, if I create him, he will grow up. Mal Ibrahim will grow up in Kandastik. Alright, Mal Ibrahim is going to grow up in Kandastik.
you go to Abimba and study. They will finish. They will come to Lokoja. Today, on the today's first of Muharram, according to the Sultanate Council, first, on this day, Imam Ibrahim will willingly decide to come and attend this lecture. They will come. All right? Imam Ibrahim will be married. He will go to work in Hamun. This everything Allah already knows. All right? And he told the plan right now. Right now, what Imam Ibrahim will do. And the plan will be done. All right? And having looked at all what Imam Ibrahim is going to do, Allah decided to allow it to happen. All right? And then finally, he went ahead and created Imam Ibrahim. Okay? So when Imam Ibrahim decides to do anything, Allah has not compelled him to do it. All right? Only that he knew what he was going to select to do. And he wrote that down. We understand. So that's why when the Al-Jabariya, those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has compelled man to do what he does, we say their knowledge, their idea negates the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his knowledge as well. Okay? So Allah does not compel man to do anything. He gives man the free will to use. Inna hadinahu sabila, imma shajiran wa imma kafura. Alright? So man decides whether to be grateful to Allah by believing or to disbelieve. So, tawakkul, alright, implies that one recognizes that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? It requires that one to understand that everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By submitting totally to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. And that will require you to not to totally put your trust in anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about tawakkul in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, drew the attention of people to one important thing that differentiates him with other creation. It says, "Fatawakkal 'ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut." All right, meaning, put your trust on the ever living, who does not die. "Fatawakkal 'ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut." Why? Because any other one, any other person, you want to put your trust in, is likely to fail. Meaning, why? He cannot be always present. Alright? He can fail you and death can overcome him. But it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who will continuously be available. Alright? Who will continue to be present? Who does not die? And therefore Allah says, "Fatawakkal 'ala al-hayy alladhi la yamut." Okay? Again, it is only Allah who no one can overpower. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, the Almighty. He is the only one no one can overpower. When you put your trust in man, alright, man, even if man wishes well, man can be overpowered. Alright? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be overpowered. And that's why in the Quran, Allah said to the Prophet, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. And that's when you ask them, the unbelievers, who created the heavens and the earth? They will say who? They will say Allah. He now said, قُلْ أَفْرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرٍّ أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَةٍ يَقُولُ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ. This verse is very important in understanding at-tawakkul. Allah says, قُلْ أَفْرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. See, those you invoke upon beside Allah, these gods that you call in our contemporary society now, these which people who practice witchcraft, or people who practice sihr, all these other people that you go to visit in terms of their needs, Allah says, إِنْ أَرَادَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ هَلْ هُنَّ كَاشِفَاتُ ضُرٍّ. If Allah should wish me harm, can this will prevent that harm from afflicting me? If Allah wish harm for you, do you think that anyone that can stop that harm from befalling you? No. أَوْ أَرَادَنِي بِرَحْمَةٍ هَلْ هُنَّ مُمْسِكَاتُ رَحْمَةٍ. or if Allah will wish for me his mercy, can this will prevent the mercy of Allah from meeting me? They cannot. Then Allah says to the Prophet, all has to be Allah. And say that Allah is sufficient for me. عليه يتوكل المتوكلون. And upon him, those who put their trust. Okay. So when a person recognizes, all right, when you recognize the fact that number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ever living. He is the one that will always be present. He is the one, inna Allah la yukhliqul mi'ad. He is the one that does not fail in his promise. Okay? Man can fail. Man will not always be present. Then you should know that your true trust should be upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, when you recognize the weakness of man, Allah says, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man was created weak. Alright? So when you recognize the weakness of man, and you recognize the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recognize the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you know that you're supposed to put your trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the all-capable. Alright? Who does not fail. Now, when we talk about putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitting totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that does not negate that one should not strive. Okay? True dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not negate you following appropriate means to achieve your goals. Do you understand? And that's where also some people have a wrong understanding of dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people believe depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires to submit everything to Allah and to see that in one place. Alright? And God will bring everything for you in your house. That is wrong. That's not the one code. Alright? At the same time, it is wrong to believe in your mind that it is what? That it is your struggle that will guarantee your goal. Alright, these are two extreme ends that are wrong. So sit down at home and say, God, I'm putting my trust in God. God will bring everything for me. It's wrong. To also depend fully on your struggles and say that it is my struggle, it is by virtue of my struggle that I'm going to get what I'm getting, again, this is wrong. You understand? True dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires that you connect your mind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you follow appropriate channels to achieve your goals. Alright? And that's why the Prophet said, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَتَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ. Alright? تَغُضُ خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُ بِطَانًا. Allah said, had it been, the Prophet said that if people will put their trust in Allah the way they should, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them the way He provides for the bed. Alright? He said, تَغُضُ خِمَاصًا. The bed in the morning goes out with empty stomach. He just flies. He doesn't know where it's going in the first place. He just flies, just wait. Alright? And it is hoping on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide food. Alright? So it flies in the morning. It goes out with empty stomach, but it comes back with full stomach. Alright? It comes back in Christmas. Scholars say that the Prophet has given us the example of the bird. Why? Because the bird did not remain in one place and wait for Allah to bring the food. Alright? The bird flew. Alright? It went, shouting, something. You understand? And in the process, Allah will guide it to where food is. SubhanAllah, I have seen a documentary on this, what do you call it? This geographical channel. Animal science or whatever. Hey. They were showing how birds, you see birds, plenty, and they were diving inside the water, and they were picking fish, and they were coming out. You understand? They would dive, enter into the water, and they would catch fish, small fish, and they would come out again, and they would fly. As they are diving inside, some big fish will also capture them and eat them. You understand? And as I was looking, I was telling to somebody who were watching it together, I just found out, if the bird is flying high in the sky, who told the bird that there is fish inside this water? It's not possible for the bird to sight the fish inside the water from top. Because even from top, when the camera shows the sea, you see that it's a very big sea. Yes, it will go to dive inside, it will go around, and it will see a small fish to pick, and it will go. Alright? So Allah guides it to where the food is. In the process, the big fish too is waiting for Allah's provision. And Allah brings this bird to eat as well. That is the hikmah of Allah's water. Yes. But I saw it captured my mind instead that I was watching it. So that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And that's why when the Prophet said to the companions that everybody's seat has been determined, whether in hellfire or in paradise. What is companion said? After understanding, what does the job mean? It depends on that. I just tell my dad. Please, she can have everything already. Whether I go to paradise, is already anything. Alright, everybody, Allah will ease your path to that which you were created. So the Prophet of Islam made it known to companions that you cannot just rely, and you cannot just rely on Al-Qadr and say, I will not walk. That I'm putting my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will not walk. At the same time, it is wrong when you struggle to say that it is my knowledge that has brought me this. That was where Qarun got it from. You have heard the story of Qarun. That is the friend of Fir'aun, the rich man during the time of Fir'aun. While Fir'aun was claiming to be God, Qarun was his friend who is a very rich man. And he was claiming that what? It was his knowledge. Inna ma utitu al-ilm in English. He said, this wealth that I have, I got it because of my knowledge. He believed he's wiser than every other person. That's why he was able to get it. Not so at the end of the day, what did Allah do? Allah destroyed it. فَخَصَفْ نَبِيهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ Allah made the act to swallow him. Because, so it is wrong to rely on your struggles. And also when somebody came to the Prophet who was coming, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَعْقِلْهَا وَأَتَوَكَلْ أَمْ أَتْغُفْهَا وَأَتَوَكَلْ Should I tie the camel and put my trust in Allah to protect it? Or should I be standing now and expect Allah to protect it? But the Prophet said, I have been how it works. Tie the camel first. Alright? So you do your own part. Alright? Tie the camel, then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you leave the camel like that and say Allah will protect it, of course the camel will go away. Alright? So you do your own part. Then you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we need to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all times and at all times, in all situations at all times. But there are situations in which tawakkul is highly demanding from man. Scholars list some few situations, few circumstances that man may find himself that his dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be more demanding in those situations. The first situation that Paul has mentioned is when we seek victory over our enemies. Alright? During when Muslims encounter the enemy and they seek victory over the enemies. That's what Allah says in the Quran. إِنْ يَسُرْكُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah says that if Allah should assist you, if Allah should grant you help, who can overpower you? If Allah should assist you, no one can overpower you. If Allah should forsake you, if he refuses to help you, among them that they are so invited, who is he that can help you after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So wa ala Allahi wa yata wa sallim. But let the believer put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Let the believer put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we face persecution from the enemies of Islam, alright, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you victory over them. And that's why when the Prophet
used to go out for wars. His major dependence is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Virtually all the wars that the Prophet fought, there was no battle in which the number of the believers was more than that of the unbelievers. Alright, usually you will see that the unbelievers double or triple the believers. And you will see that in terms of weapon and everything that they need for the battle, that of the unbelievers will always surpass that of the believers. Yes, the Prophet relies on Allah for victory. He depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of the day, Allah will always grant him that victory. And also when the munafiqun, the hypocrites in Medina, you know, whenever the Prophet is going out for a battle, they will come and what? They will be making excuses. Alright? Our families are sick, our children are dead, our farm is just damaged, now we need to go and harvest. They will always find excuse of not going out in the Prophet. Alright? And they will be watching. If the Prophet gains victory in his battle, they will be sad about it. If the Prophet is defeated, they say, we were lucky that we didn't follow him. Otherwise, this thing will have happened to us. We knew he would not make it. That's why we didn't go. What did Allah say? Allah said, reply there. كُلَّنْ يُسِيبَ لَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah said, tell them, لَنْ يُسِيبَ لَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing will afflict us except that which Allah has afflicted. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Allah is our Lord and protector. Alright? وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلُ. Allah said, let the believers put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you face persecution from the enemies of Allah. The second situation that scholars mentioned where tawakkul is more demanding is during difficulties. This is where we have problems with us. When we face difficulties in our lives, okay? When we face difficulties in our lives, that is when we need to go closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَٰهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, who is he that answers the one who is in a state of necessity, al-muqtar, somebody who is in a state of difficulty? Worship who? Who is it that is all the worry and remove the harm? And make you the vigilant upon the earth. In that man, is there another God that can do that besides Allah? Only Allah can do it. And that's why some scholars used to say that the difference between us now and the Quraysh, you know, the Quraysh, they were unbelievers, didn't they? They didn't believe in Allah. But one of the scholars used to say that the Quraysh, despite being unbelievers, in some aspects, they are even better than us. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Quraysh, they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They refuse to believe in the Prophet. But they know in their mind that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet is calling to is the true God. They know. Alright? Just that out of arrogance, they cannot believe. And that's why. Whenever they find themselves in difficult situations, what do they do? They call on Allah. That's what they do. Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُا اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah says, when they land on the ship, when they are traveling by sea, and the ship encounters strong winds and waves of water, they know at that time that this God that we are worshipping cannot save us in this situation. They know. So what do? They turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, Allah describes the way they turn. They mostly sincerely. Yes. They know that in this situation that we are now, nobody can save us except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they will not call on their Allah or Uzza or Al-Manan or Manan. They don't call on all these gods again. They call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they turn to Allah sincerely, Allah saves them. Then when they come back home,
Everything is okay now. And that is how we should. They go back to their shelter. So, in our own case, how is our own? We, when difficulties come, that is even when we commit the sin. Yes. When a woman sits down now for years without giving birth, instead of relying on Allah's wonder to provide, she will go to him for a year. Yes. Or they will go to one magician somewhere. Or to one deviant somewhere to perform it up. Yes. When a person is afflicted with sickness, instead of calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when you visit for a people. Alright? The other day I was going to Ghana very early in the morning. So I said a reconciliation among some fighting groups like that, sometimes back. And as I was going, I saw Muslims coming out of the church. You know, after that bridge, or before the bridge, there are big churches around that area. And I saw people coming, like they had this night vigil or whatever they used to do. And I saw people, and I just saw women with hijab. And also, when I got to the place, I was surprised. I was on the bike that time. So I was going, because I finished putting my shoe in my plane. Those people said they were going to wait for me after their own shoe. So I said, okay, I will not come and place your plane, but later after my shoe, I will come. So I was going, and people coming out in large numbers. And when I looked, I now spotted women in hijab. I was surprised. I looked again. This is the church. And you have women coming out in hijab. So when I got to the place, I was not asking them. I saw something strange now. I said, it's normal. It happened that there was a night meeting there. They invited a very big pastor from somewhere and it's going to be night of miracles. And Muslims went there to look for miracles. SubhanAllah. So in our own case, when we find ourselves in difficulty that we're supposed to go close to Allah, that is even when we go far in our ship. Allah is the Quraysh, who know very clearly that when they find themselves in difficulty, then nobody can tell themselves Allah. And they go back to Allah. So during the time of difficulty, that is the time when we need to even get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is when you should put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the problem is, for you to gain the mercy of Allah at the times of difficulty requires you to remember Allah at the times of peace. Alright? Don't wait for the time of difficulty before you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are the type that does not remember Allah at the time of peace, then at the time of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not answer you. And you are the type that remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of peace, then at the time of difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely remember you. That was why a scholar did a very simple comparison between Prophet Yunus and Fir'aun. Alright? Prophet Yunus, you all know Prophet Yunus, isn't it? Prophet Yunus was that prophet, Yusuf al-Makka, whom Allah sent to a people and they refused to believe. He called them, follow Allah, worship Allah, worship Allah. They refused to believe. When he saw the sign of destruction coming upon those people, he tried to run away. Alright? His mistake was he didn't wait for Allah to give him the permission to leave. All other prophets whom Allah destroyed their people, Allah used to give them permission when to leave. You understand? Before Allah destroyed the people of Prophet Noah, Allah commanded him to build the ark, isn't it? Look, those who used to commit sodomy, Allah brought upon them rain of stone, and their city was raised and turned upside down. But before then, Allah commanded those to leave. Allah sent angels to him and tell him in the morning, leave. Isn't it? So usually before Allah brings calamity or destruction upon the people who refuse to believe, Allah will send message to them, okay, you have been given the permission to leave. Yusuf did not wait. Yunus, he didn't wait. He was in a hurry. So he left. Alright, when he left, he got into a ship, and there was a problem. The ship became too heavy, and they needed to reduce somebody from the ship. All right, they said, okay, let us cast lots. Those people in the city knew that this man is the prophet of God. And so when they casted lots, it fell on him. They were surprised. Are we now going to throw the prophet of Allah into the river? They said, let us do it again. They did it again and it fell on him. They did it third time and it fell on him. Then he said, okay, no problem, throw me inside the water. And they threw him inside the water and he was swallowed by a very big fish. You know, when the fish swallowed him, he thought he was dead. Later he realized that he is still alive. Alright? Then he started calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing was unknown. Is that a mughadibat? Or banna anna naqdira alayhi? Fanada fi dhulma. Allah ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Alright? This was his supplication. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allah said what? فَتْبَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجْزَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, we answered him. When he made this call, we answered him and we saved him. And that's how we're going to save all the believers. But the reason is, it's Allah told us in our verse, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يُبْعَثُونَ. If not because he was among those who used to praise Allah before, who used to glorify Allah, Allah would have left him in that fish till the end of time. Meaning, he was a righteous servant before he found himself in that situation. Alright? And that was why, because of that, Allah responded. Fir'aun, what happened to Fir'aun? After everything that happened between Fir'aun and Musa, when Musa crossed the River Nile, alright? And Fir'aun decided to cross as well. And he was going to be drowned in that river. What did he say? The Aman to build the Aman of Banu Israel. I believe in that God that Banu Israel also believes in. Wa ana min al-mu'minin. What did Allah say? Al-Ana wa qad a'taita min qabl. Is it now you are going to believe when you are contesting before? Wa kunta min al-mufsidin. So, Fir'aun's supplication and turning to Allah did not benefit him at that time. Why? Because before then, he was not a righteous person. When Yunus called on Allah in that difficult situation, Allah responded. Why? Because before then, he was a righteous person. So, that's why the Prophet said that, Ta'arraf in Allah ki raha ya'rifka fi shidda. Alright? Know Allah when you are in a time of ease. When everything is going on fine. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also know you when you are in time of difficulties. We understand. Allah will also know you when you are in the time of discord. Fine. Then another time again that we need to go close to Allah and put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when we're taking critical decisions in our lives. Okay? Whenever we're taking critical decisions in our lives, then we need to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has total knowledge of what is and what will be. Allah knows the end result of everything. Okay? And that's why when you are taking a critical decision in your life, you're supposed to put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said concerning the Prophet in the Quran, what do you say? The Qurima rahmati min Allah linda lahu. Walau kunta fadlan galizan galizan qad lam faddu min hawli. Ba'fu anhu wastaghfir lahum washawirhum fil amr. Alright, this is the point of emphasis. Washawirhum fil amr. Consult the companion in your matter. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you are taking when your mind is made up, al-azm, when your mind is made up on any matter, then فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So when taking critical decisions in our life, make consultation, seek advice, seek opinion, alright? Then what? Do istikhara. That was why the Prophet taught us to do istikhara. Okay? Fortunately for us, that is the dua of istikhara is written in Kisun Muslim. Alright, if you have Kisun Muslim, you can easily access dua of istikhara. So whenever you are taking critical decisions in your life, decisions that have to do with your personal life, that have to do with your family, your children, your career, anything concerning your life, then always do istikhara. And well, istikhara is very simple. It just requires to observe two rakat of prayer and recite the supplication. Alright? And then make up your mind on what you are doing and then give the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always guide you to the right path. So when taking decisions, it is very important that we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that has to do with the mind, isn't it? It is something that has to do with the state of mind. And that's why scholars suggest some way in which one can boost in tawakkul. Alright? Because it is something that has to do with the mind. So there are some ways which one can boost that state of feeling in the mind, that state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the ways one can boost in tawakkul, which scholars suggest as follows. One, constantly reciting the Quran. You see, the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has a very strong impact on the heart when one is reciting it. Okay? So when you recite, when you make the Quran part of your life, you will be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are close to Allah, your trust and dependence on Him will be high. Okay? Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ Right? Allah says these believers are those that when Allah is mentioned, what is that to do? Alright, their hearts are terrified whenever they hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They listen attentively. What is the tuliyat alayhim ayatu? And when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited upon them, zadatul imana, it increases their faith. Wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. And they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran has a direct way of increasing our faith. Alright? And it has a direct way of increasing our tawakkul. Unfortunately, many people only recite the Quran during Ramadan. After Ramadan, everybody will close the Quran and want to keep it inside the shelf, waiting for next Ramadan to come again before they go home. This is wrong. Alright? Make the Quran part and parcel of your daily life. Do not let a day pass by without you open the Quran and read. Even if it's just one page. Even if it's just one page. God, even if it's just after Salah, sit down, give 5 minutes, open the Quran, just read one page and close the Quran back. Alright? Make the Quran part and parcel of your daily life. Scholars used to say that whoever makes the Quran part and parcel of his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always grant him success. Allah will elevate you. So anything associated with the Quran is elevated. Alright? Anything associated with the Quran is elevated. Scholars used to say that Angel Jibril was elevated among the angels. Why? Because he was the one in charge of bringing the revelation to the Prophet. Isn't it? He is the one who brings the Quran to the Prophet. So because Allah chose him for this duty, Allah elevated him higher above all other angels. The Prophet himself was elevated among all the prophets. He is the leader of all prophets. Why? Because he was the one upon whom the Quran was revealed. Okay? The month of Ramadan is the best month, isn't it? Among the 12 months. Why? Because the Quran was revealed in that month. Alright? The night of Laylatul Qadr is the greatest night of all nights in the year. Why? It was the night in which the Quran was revealed. You understand? So anything that is associated with the Quran is elevated. Right? Even the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, Allah refers to her as the best of Ummah. Why? because we are the ummah that receives the Quran. So make the Quran part and parcel of your daily life. It will increase your faith. And when your faith is increased, it's increasing your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is what? It's repentance. Alright? Repenting regularly. Constant repentance. You see, the Prophet Allah said that كل بني آدم خطاؤون وخير خطائين التائبون. Alright? He said all the children of Adam are what? Are sinners. And the best of sinners are what? Are those who repent constantly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who repent. Sincere repentance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom Allah ta'ala has forgiven him all his sins. Alright? Yes, the Prophet said that إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ الْيَوْمِ مِئَةْ مَرَّةٍ. In other words, it's 70 مَرَّةٍ. That me, I used to seek the forgiveness of Allah. I do istighfar in a day, 100 times, even though you are so sin. What more of me and you that every day we are into sin? Alright? What more of me and you that every day we are into sin? So we need to repent constantly. Constantly repent. Okay? When we repent, because, you know, repentance brings life to the heart. The Prophet said that when you commit a sin, a black dot will be put on your mind, on your heart. Alright? If you repent, that black dot will be erased. But if you do not repent and you commit more sin, that's how the Prophet wants to put black dot on your heart. See, the entire heart will become black. And when it becomes black, there will be no light in it. Alright, Allah, the Prophet said that that is what Allah means by Kalla barana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaqulun. Around that is the cover, that is the cover that Allah has placed over the heart of some people. That light cannot go into it again. It's their sins that have created it. So we need to repent constantly. Unfortunately, today, what some of us do will even make Allah want Allah to forgive us. Because not only do we commit sins, we are even proud of the sin that we are committing. People are proud to show off their sin. And that is something that makes Allah not to forgive an individual. The Prophet said in an authentic hadith, كل أمتي معافا إلا المجاهرين. Is that all my ummah will be pardoned, will be forgiven when they seek forgiveness. إلا المجاهرين. Those who expose their body. Somebody committing sin and is proud of it. Any type of sin at all. He is proud to showcase his sin. Such a person does not receive the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? Such a person does not receive the forgiveness of Allah. Then, another way we can boost our tawakkul is studying the stories of the Prophet. Okay? Studying the stories of the Prophet and pious predecessors. Right? When you study the stories of the Prophet and pious predecessors, you will see how at one point or the other in their life, they put their total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist them and to grant them victory in their lives. Alright? What really, when you go through the Quran, you see so many things. I used to say to people, look at the story of the mother of Musa, for example. When Fir'aun gave the order that all baby boys, newborn baby boys, should be killed. After she gave birth, she didn't want Fir'aun to kill her child. That's Musa, didn't he? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her to put the baby in a box and go and throw that box inside the river. If it is not total trust and dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you think will make her to carry that out such an order? to put her baby, whom she went through severe pain in delivering, put that baby inside a box, close the box, and go to River Nile, a river that she only sees the beginning, she doesn't know where it's going to end, and put that box inside. And go back home and wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decide what will happen to her. This is total submission and total trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْهِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That's what Allah says. Alright? That if you fear that God will kill this baby, go and throw this baby inside the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي and do not be afraid. وَلَا تَحْزَنِي and do not worry. إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْهِ we will return Musa back to you. I will make him among the messengers. And that was what happened, isn't it? That was what happened. When Musa was taken by the wife of Fir'aun, at the end of the day, they were looking for him to pursue the mother, they couldn't find, and they brought him back to his mother. Alright, so it had total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made her to do that. Where Mother was talking about Hijra, isn't it? Before I came, I had her talking about Hijra. Look at the story of Hijra. One of the things that Muslims should do at times like this is to look at the story of the Hijra and learn from it, and not to celebrate or to wish each other new year or whatever people do now. Alright? Sit back and ask yourself, study the story of the migration of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you will learn enough from it. We have a lot to learn in the story of the Hijra of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some of the things we stand to learn is the Prophet trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, after the persecution of the Quraysh, when the persecution became too much, Allah subhanahu gave the Prophet the permission to migrate. And the Prophet, being the leader, allowed the believers to migrate first, and he remained. While he remained, the Quraysh concluded their plan to kill him. Abu Jahl brought a very unique suggestion. You know, all along, they have been afraid of killing the Prophet. Alright? Why? Because the Arabs, you know, everybody is affiliated to a clan. And your clan will always rise up in your defense. So they have always been doubting, how do we overpower the Banu Hashim? That's the clan of the Prophet. And one day, when they sat down and were deliberating, they knew that the Prophet and his companion of Christ have started migrating to Medina. And they know that when they settle in Medina and they are able to establish a state, then they'll come one day and attack them. Alright? So they will say, okay, we need to do something fast. Some of them have already escaped to Medina, but him, the other part is there. We need to look for a way of stopping him. And Abu Jahl said what? He said, let us get one youth from each clan. Alright? Each of them will come with their sword and they will go to his house. Do you understand? They will go to his house and at once, all of them will strike him, so that what? His blood will be shed among all the clans. So Banu Hashim cannot fight all the clans in Makkah. They will have no choice than to accept diya, accept blood money for the death of Muhammad. And Shaitan was there in the form of a human being. He said, this is the best suggestion. Do it. And they all concluded arrangement. The Prophet of Allah, before then, heard about this decision. And what did he do? When Allah gave the Prophet permission to migrate, again, the Prophet did not just sit down and wait for Allah to save him or to carry him by miracle and throw him to Medina. No. Alright? He followed appropriate channels. Alright? He took appropriate steps to achieve his goal. He had a target, which is what? To migrate to Medina. That's the target. Now, to accomplish this target, he took appropriate steps. First, what did he do? He went in the daytime, he went to the house of Abu Bakr, his closest friend, and told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the permission to migrate. Abu Bakr said, I want to accompany you. He said, fine, we can go together. We are going to go tomorrow morning. And he went back home. Alright? He went back home. What did Abu Bakr do? Immediately, Abu Bakr knew that We cannot follow the normal route that we used to follow to Medina. But if we follow the normal route, the Quraysh will follow us behind and they will attack us. We need to get somebody who knows the topography of Makkah very well and knows the route, hidden route that can pass. And they went and contacted somebody called Abdullah bin Quraysh, who is even a disbeliever. Alright? But he was a trustworthy person. And so they contacted him and rented him to come and serve as a guide in the journey. And he agreed. And they fixed a place to meet. And he said to Abdullah bin Quraysh, come to me after 3 days. We'll meet at social point after 3 days. We'll meet at Dar al-Tawr. Alright? Then the Prophet went back home. Okay? He went back home and on that night, he invited Ali, his nephew, to come and stay with him. And in the night, he told Ali, you lie down on my bed and cover yourself with my garment, with the cloak that I used to cover myself. Alright? And Ali accepted. SubhanAllah. At that time, the Quraysh were already outside the door in the night. But the Quraysh, they didn't want to break into the house and kill him. They wanted to wait for him when he's going out for Fajr prayer. That's when they were attacked. So they were stationed at the door, outside. And the Prophet and Ali were inside. And they know that these people are waiting to attack us. And the Prophet is telling Ali, you stay here. And he agreed to stay. And he knows that if I stay here, my life is in danger. But what? He put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and agreed to stay. And he covered himself up with the cloak of the Prophet, which gives the impression that he is the Prophet. Well, he's not the Prophet. Meaning, even if the enemy enters to attack, they will attack him first. Isn't it? Yes, he agreed. Alright? And he lied down on the bed and covered himself up with the cloak of the Prophet. And the Prophet came out of the door. And the Quraysh were there, but Allah made them not to see him. Alright, he was reciting, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلَّيْلَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَنُخَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَهُمْ فَأَبْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُسْرُونَ فَأَبْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُسْرُونَ. So, he was perfect. He even took sand and sprinkled on their head. Alright, and he went out. And he went to Abu Bakr. And when he got to Abu Bakr's place, they went out together. And they took the path that leading to Yemen, not to Medina. As if they are going to Yemen. Alright, and they went to a mountain called Jabal Thawr. And in that mountain there is a cave called Ghar Thawr. And they entered into that cave. By the time the Quraysh woke up in the morning, they didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And someone came to them and said that the Prophet has already left, he's not there again. Look at, he even sprinkled sand on your head. Then they were looking at their head, they saw sand. Then they entered into the house and they saw Ali. They said, where is the Prophet? He said, I don't know where he is. And they left him. Fine. The Prophet took Abu Bakr and they went to that Ghar Thawr. When they were there, Abu Bakr had already contacted and told his daughter, Asma bint Abu Bakr, she will be the one that will bring in food for them in that cave for the next 3 days. She and her brother, alright, they will bring in food. She will go with the food. Her brother will be following her with his camel, so that the camel will be dispersing her footsteps, so that they will not be able to trace her footsteps to know where she's going. Alright? Hiddenly, they will take food to the Prophet and they will go back. And the Prophet was there for 3 days. While the Quraysh were searching, one day, within those 3 days, they even came to the top of the cave, such that if one of them is to look down, they will see the Prophet inside. Alright? And Abu Bakr was afraid. I was telling the Prophet, don't you see that if they should look down and they will see us? What the Prophet said to him? He said, La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana. And that's in the Quran, Thaniya Ithnain. Idh huma fil ghar, idh yaqulu li sahibihi, La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana. Said to his companion, La tahzan, do not worry. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. That is total dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in that spot, if Allah has made, Allah will make them to look down and find him. Isn't it? And there's nothing he can do. He doesn't have any power in that time. But he submitted totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah protected him. After searching for him, they couldn't find him, they left. And after 3 days, Abdullah ibn Quraysh, the one that was supposed to serve as a guide, he came. And they proceeded on their journey. And at the end of the day, it's a very long story, at the end of the day, they arrived in Makkah. They arrived in Medina. The point I want to make here is, you can see that in that journey, the Prophet relied totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save him, to grant him success. But he didn't just sit out in one place and expect Allah to do it, but he took appropriate steps. You see, this incident also teaches the Muslims to always set a target. Set a target for yourselves and work towards achieving it. As you are working towards achieving it, you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you understand? And there's nothing wrong in seeking the assistance of unbelievers if they are trustworthy. And also, the Prophet sought the assistance of Abdullah ibn Urayth, but he was trustworthy. Okay? So he took appropriate steps to achieve the goal, and the goal was achieved. Do you understand? These are some of the lessons that we should learn from Hijra. Alright? It's very important that we study the story of Prophet Muhammad. And indeed, the story of other prophets. Virtually all the prophets, you always find one situation or the other in which they relied totally on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Prophet Ibrahim. When he was overpowered by his people and they decided to throw him into hellfire to burn him, the Prophet said to us that what? That at that time, when they were about to throw him inside the hellfire, what was he saying? He was saying, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is sufficient for me. Yes, sir. And also when they threw him, when they threw him inside the fire, what Allah says? Allah says, "Kunna ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman." Allah is one. And that's why the Prophet encouraged us to also to always repeat this: Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah. When you are in difficult situation, constantly repeat: Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to your aid. All right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to your aid. Look at the story of Musa himself. After saving the Banu Israel from the shackles of Fir'aun. When they came to River Nile, you know, the Jews, they are people who are cowards. Alright? When they came to River Nile and Fir'aun was coming behind them, and they came to River Nile and there's no way they can run again, they said to Musa, "See what you have got for us. You should have just allowed to remain under Fir'aun. Now you have got to this place. Fir'aun is behind us coming, and River Nile is in front of us." What did they say? "Inna lamudrakun. Falamma tara'a al-jama'ani, qala ashab Musa, inna lamudrakun." They say, we have been captured. That's what we can do again. What did Allah say? What did Musa reflect on that time? He said, "Kalla. Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdi." Musa told them, "Never. My Lord is with me. He will guide me." You see, at that point, even Musa himself does not know what's going to happen. Isn't it? Yes, because Fir'aun is coming behind him and the river is in front of him. There's no way he can do it again. But yet, he knew that I'm under the guidance of Allah. Allah will not forsake me at this time. Alright? And Allah is back, revealed to him to strike the river and it separated him. So when we read the stories of the prophet, all right, and we see their situations, we'll see that at one point or the other, they relied totally, they put their trust in Allah, and Allah did not forsake them. If he did not forsake them, he will not forsake us also. Just like Allah says to Prophet Yunus, all right, he said, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. All right, and that's just the way we say it, that's how we say the believer. And that's why the prophet said that, da'wat is noon. Alright? Every believer should always repeat the dua of Prophet Yunus. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Constantly repeat this supplication. Alright? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to your aid at your time of need. Also, another way to boost our dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to seek the knowledge. Alright? Seek the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to improve in our knowledge of Tawheed. Alright? Know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by His beautiful name and attributes. You see, that was why at the beginning I tried to draw our attention to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty, He is the Omnipotent, He is the one that cannot be overpowered by anyone. Alright? So when you have true understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will make you to realize the need to depend on Him. Do you understand? But because of lack of knowledge of Tawheed, because of lack of knowledge of Islam generally, all right, we found ourselves shaking whenever we are tried by any calamity. All right, so we need to improve on our knowledge of Tawheed. Tawheed is very, very important. All right, Tawheed is very, very important in our lives. Okay, so we need to constantly seek knowledge of Tawheed to improve on our knowledge. Know Allah by His beautiful name and attributes. All right, because you know, when you know the name and attributes of Allah, you will even know which one to select when supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are meant for us to call on Allah by them. Allah said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Alright, so Allah belongs the beautiful names. So call Him by this name. Call Allah by this name. And that's what the Prophet used to say. When you supplicate to Allah, say, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Alright, Allah will always respond. These are great names. Ismullah al-Azam. These are great names of Allah. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum. Ya Dhal Jalal wal Ikram. Ya Arhamur Rahimin. These are great names that when Allah is called by this name, He responds. Alright? So know Allah by His beautiful names and attributes that will boost your dependence on Him. And finally, when we depend on Allah, what do we stand to benefit? We stand to benefit a lot. Benefit of a tawakkul in our lives. First, putting ourselves in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits us with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, Inna Allaha yuhibbu al-mutawakkilin. Allah loves those who put their trust in Him. So, putting our trust in Allah will gain us the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one benefit of a tawakkul. Secondly, it gives us what? Rest of mind. Alright? Tawakkul gives you rest of mind. It doesn't make you to worry. Because what? You know that whatever Allah has written will come to pass. Do you understand? The Prophet said that whatever misses you was not meant to miss you. And whatever misses you was not meant to miss you. So why do you need to worry yourself? Alright? Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is sufficient for him. So when somebody puts his trust in Allah, it gives him rest of mind. Alright? It helps you to overpower your worry. It helps you to overpower your worry. So it gives you rest of mind. Also, another benefit of tawakkul is what? That it protects you from shaitan. It protects you from shaitan. And that's why Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Alright? وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah says that, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ, whenever you recite the Quran, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, seek refuge with Allah from the account of shaitan. That innahu laysa lahu sultan. This shaitan we're talking about has no power. Laysa lahu sultan ala alladhina amanu. He has no power over those who believe. Wa ala rabbihim yatawakkalu. He has no power over those who put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So tawakkul gives you protection from shaitan. And that's why the Prophet said that whenever you are going out of your house, what is supplication? He said, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Alright, don't forget to make this supplication whenever you are stepping out of your house. Do it yourself, teach it to your children. Alright, make it part and parcel of their lives. Whenever they are going out, let them always supplicate. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Prophet said that when a person recites this supplication, what will Allah say? Allah will say, هُدِيتَ وَقُفِيدَ وَوُكِيدَ فَيَتَنَحَّى عَنْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The Prophet said that whenever a person says this, something, an angel will say, Udita, you have been guided. وَقُفِيدَ, and Allah is sufficient for you. وَوُكِيدَ, and you have been protected. Allah, the Prophet said, فَيَتَنَحَّى عَنْهُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. The shayateen will step aside from you. So, reciting, putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protects us from shaytan. Also, another benefit we start to gain from putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that what? It gives us plenty of reward. Alright, it gives us reward. Especially saying, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Alright, this statement is a statement of total submission, saying that there is no power or mind except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means you are submitted, you have put your trust in Allah. The Prophet said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah kanzun min qulubi jannah. Alright, the Prophet said that it is a treasure among the treasures of paradise. So constantly repeating this, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Alright, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. It gives you a lot of reward on the day of judgment. So these are some of the benefits of putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pray Almighty Allah to guide our hearts to the right path. We pray Almighty Allah to make our feet firm in the religion. Whatever we have said that is right, may Allah reward us for it. Whatever we have wronged, may Allah forgive us. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.